That the question I want to think about today is about what is trust, and hopefully I've got some slides. Yeah. Oh, we can see it with the lights on. That's lovely. Yeah, wonderful. There you go. With trust. Fantastic. But this question about what is... The question is about what is trust. Oh, doesn't want to work.
No, it's not on. There you go.
So this is a picture I've been thinking about, and it's from the Paralympics, and it's downhill slalom for the partially sighted or fully blind. And so we have two skiers. The first one in the bright yellow trousers, you can see fully. The person following them is either blind or partially sighted, and they slalom down a hill at over 100 kilometers an hour. The person in front gives the guidance to the person coming behind, telling them to go to the left or to the right, warning them about problems and obstacles which are coming up in the course ahead. And that is kind of often how the Holy Spirit works with us. He tells us to go to the left or to the right, but we are often blind to the problems which are coming ahead, and we can't necessarily find all the solutions. But we listen and we kind of respond in that faith, to kind of hear his voice and to know which way to go. And over the last couple of weeks, I've had a range of different kind of stressful situations which I've been trying to work my way through. And in that place, the scripture which has been really encouraging me has been this psalm, which is Psalm 131. It goes, "A song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem, a psalm of David. Lord, my heart is not proud, my eyes are not haughty. I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. Instead, I have calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord now and always." And these psalms of ascent, they were sung by the people of Israel as they made their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And so they would be out in the outlying territories where life could be quite hard. They were often surrounded by pagan people who didn't respect God and didn't respect them. And then as they would journey towards Jerusalem, they would sing these songs and they would celebrate and look forward to coming into God's presence, to being in that place where they would encounter God in the temple, that they would touch something of his goodness, and it would give them an encouragement, it would bring a breaking in of the kingdom, which would help them to stand firm throughout the rest of the year when they were out and about doing their daily lives. Just like we go through all sorts of problems when we're facing life, and then hopefully we get to come to church and we kind of see and encounter something of God's goodness, which changes and transforms us, and then releases us back for the weeks which are to come. And the psalmist talks about how his heart is not proud and his eye is not haughty, that he doesn't let himself get focused on problems which are too big for him, that he doesn't let himself get focused on the injustices and the inequalities of life, but rather having seen all of the problems and lived in that mess, he comes and he quietens himself. He lets himself, he puts his hope in the Lord. But this simile of you being like a weaned child, not a child who is fed from its mother anymore, but rather who is satiated and satisfied in food and doesn't have to cry out in hunger anymore. And has come to trust that issue, that their parents. And I kind of think about a baby lying upon its mother and its hearing that kind of heartbeat is full and it's sated. And actually when we come into God's presence, that's often what we need. We kind of need that tangible re-encountering of God's presence to help us kind of come to that place of peace, to help us kind of find ourselves, to find our balance. And I was reading a commentary on this psalm and it just expressed this kind of idea of trust so brilliantly. It said, "Trusting requires us to reject some things so that we might receive other things, as is particularly true in the midst of challenging and uncertain times. In the midst of difficult circumstances, we are prone to believing that we must save ourselves, and that if anything, we must work harder, faster, and with greater determination to secure our future." The psalmist does indeed call for us to take action, but this action comes in the form of relinquishment. We are called to relinquish our sense of self-reliance and pride, and in its place to adopt a posture similar to that of a child. James Mays explains this as posture further by suggesting that the stance adopted is that of calm, of a calm and patient soul. Calm because of ultimately it does not have to depend upon itself, and patient because it does not believe that the present time is a prison. Such a posture, however, runs counter to the reality we know. We are anything but calm and patient. We have been lulled into thinking that we can deliver ourselves. In such moments of delusional thinking, we need the compassion of God to sweep over us, thus calming us and reassuring us, saving us. In that moment and every moment, we need the posture of a child, the very model of one invited into the kingdom of God. I love that concept of having to relinquish our self-control, relinquish our own striving to solve the problem, and to come and encounter the compassion of God. And in that place, we find peace, to come as a little child. And we are often faced with problems which are beyond our control and beyond our powers to solve. And in that place, it's helpful to come back to some of those promises of God. And one of them is from Luke chapter 1, where God says, nothing is impossible for him. For with God, nothing is impossible. But when we are with him, there is no problem which is beyond his ability to solve. No depth of trouble we can find for ourselves or which other people can cause in our life, which he can't get us out of. But nothing is impossible with God. In the Beatitudes, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, there's this great foundational teaching about what the Christian life looks like. And two of them are this. Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." And this concept of meekness is not one of being beaten down and humbled, but it was a Greek word which could be used for a well-trained animal. So like a well-trained war horse would be described like this, and it would mean that it would stay still in the midst of all the chaos and confusion of battle, whilst people are crying out in pain. This horse could be trusted to stay still. But when its rider kind of speared it and gave it the instruction, it would charge furiously into the heart of battle. And that is what God often calls for us. We people who, when the time is right, can sit and endure patiently and quietly. But when he gives the word and the order to advance, we'll advance boldly and bravely, you know? Who can speak and proclaim the truth of the gospel, who can speak for justice, who can speak up for those who don't have a voice for themselves. But at the same time, we're under his control. You know, we're not just loose cannons firing in every direction. And that was the people who hunger and thirst for justice. or righteousness, who long to see God's good reign and rule, to see the world put right. And Jesus' encouragement is that when we long for that righteousness, and when we long for that justice, that we will be satisfied, that we will see and taste those good things of the kingdom in the fullness of time. I was reminded of this quote from Martin Luther King, who said that darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. And in the Anglican Church, you may have seen in the news, we've been having a lot of problems, and the Archbishop of Canterbury has recently resigned, and there's been a big safeguarding scandal. And in the face of all that injustice, it's easy to get angry and upset. And I think we can all think about situations in our lives, like John was saying about people in communities selling drugs to children, where it's easy to get really upset. And the reminder is that in this kingdom lifestyle, we're called to overcome evil by doing good. That we're not called to just lose our rag. That Book of James says man's anger doesn't bring about the righteousness of God. And that's been hard, right? That for me, sometimes I find myself in these difficult situations, and you know, you just kind of want to just lose it because you can see the evil. But the call is to have that meekness, to have that calmness of character, where you can wait patiently and take the action which God is calling you to. That we can be people who overcome evil by doing good. That darkness can't drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And that Jesus leaves his disciples as he's ascending into heaven with these great promises, which finish off Matthew's gospel. And they're great promises to remind ourselves. And he says that he's been given all authority in heaven and earth. And he tells them that he's going to be with them always, even to the end of the age. So wherever you go and wherever you find yourself, wherever you find yourself struggling against evil and battling to bring in the kingdom of God, I want you to know that Jesus goes with you. You are never alone. And that I want you to know that there is no problem you face which is beyond that authority which God Jesus has. He has all authority in heaven and earth, that nothing is impossible with God, that he can overcome and help us triumph in even the most adverse and difficult of situations, even when we cannot find the solution. So for me, I find it relatively easy to trust in God if I can see how God is going to rescue me. And as soon as I can't see how God is going to rescue me, I begin to worry and panic. And that is madness. Like, we are like those blind skier, and we have to trust the one in front of us, guiding us to the left or to the right. We cannot see all of the solutions, but God does not change in his character based on how easily or hard I find it to see the solution to my problems. He is always good. He is always faithful. He is always the one who has all the authority, and it's always that nothing is impossible with him. And there's this great story in 2 Kings, and that you might have heard it before. It's about the prophet Elisha. And at that time, the king of Aram is trying to invade Israel. And every time he mobilizes his army and invades the country, Elisha will prophesy the movement of his troops beforehand, and he gets outmaneuvered. And the king eventually becomes incredibly frustrated, and he gets his army, and he's like, we're all going to go together, and we're all going to kill Elisha. That's the military outcome we are looking for. And so 10,000 plus troops come in, surround the set of the town. Elisha is besieged. And in that place, his servants are getting nervous. And they come to him and they're like, Elisha, armies everywhere. We're in trouble. And this is what Elisha says to him. He says, don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than there are against us. And he opens the eyes of his servant to see all of the armies of heaven, which are surrounding them, ready to protect them. A friend of mine once said that all fear is irrational fear. That if we could see the truth of who God is, what he has for us, how much he loves us, how much protection he has for us, we would not fear feel the fear we do when we encounter sickness or injustice, or, you know, noisy neighbors moving next to us, all of the 101 problems which occur which make us feel worried and anxious. If we could see the truth of all that God has for us, we would be at peace. But we need that moment for our eyes to be opened, for us to see the armies of heaven which are around, ready to protect us. I want to kind of finish off by coming us back to that picture of a child who is weaned and comforted, that we need that tangible encounter with God. That's the only way we can do it, right? We can't kind of will ourselves there by our own kind of willpower and might and our determination to be at peace. There's almost nothing worse than feeling incredibly stressed and being like, I really want to feel more peaceful now, right? I really try and will in that peace. That's not how peace works. But when we come and we hear God's heartbeat and we sit in his presence, we begin to align ourselves with him, that he does not get stressed, right? That he is not sitting there going, oh man, this situation with the Anglican Church, it's out of control. Gosh, I really need someone to get in there. That he understands all of the problems. And he hears all of the cries of injustice. And he works to bring the good. And we need to come and connect with him so we can be his vessels, go out and change the world around us. And that is how we will overcome all of the evil and injustice which we face. So I thought it would be good to finish off if we could just get into groups of twos and threes and just pray for each other. Pray that we would have God's peace. Like, feel free to share anything which is happening, which is stressing you out at the moment. And pray for that fresh encounter, that your eyes will be opened to all the goodness and protection that God has for you. Amen. Let's do that now.